45. Amen. 45. And the subject matter here today is paving the way. We're going to be speaking on that the whole entire month of July. And basically, in a nutshell, paving the way for the third wave. Paving the way for the third wave. That's what we're doing here today. And so as you turn to it in Isaiah 45, 2 and 3, I want you to turn to it because I don't want you to be lazy. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we're going to be having it up there. But I want you to look at it. And I want you, if you have a highlighter, if you have a pen, I want you to just write it. It's okay to write in your Bible. Just write in your Bible. If you have a Bible, write in it. Amen. Just write in it. Just highlight it. This is a promise that God has given Victory Outreach. Amen. Because Victory Outreach, we have three waves. And that's why we're emphasizing the waves. The first wave was the pioneering wave. It's called the pioneering generation, and that's where we have all our elders in our ministry. And I encourage you to read Treasures Out of Darkness. You'll read how this ministry has given birth and back in 1967, and how that all the elders and all those that were out there, they came in, they got saved, and they were the ones pioneering the church of Victory Outreach so that now we could be blessed and see the work all over the world. But then there was a second generation. Everybody say second generation. The second generation is the Joshua generation. That's the one that took the mantle and says, you know what, I'm going to run with this vision that we have in Victory Outreach. And so that Joshua generation came after the first generation, and they ran with the ministry. And matter of fact, we are here today because of the Joshua generation. If you don't know who Joshua is, it's the man that God raised up after Moses. And he came in, and he took the mantle after Moses passed away. He continued with the vision of going into the promised land. Now, the third wave. Everybody say the third wave. The third wave is the people that we are today. I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell them you are part of the third wave. This third wave is crucial because they say that movements die after the third wave. They die after the dirt generation. So it's crucial that we are intentional when it comes to the third wave. We have to be intentional. We have to be purposeful. And this third wave, I believe that in this third wave, we're going to experience an outpouring of God's presence like we have never experienced before. And I want you to read these scriptures. For those that don't know, these are our founding scriptures of our ministry. Isaiah 45, 2 and 3. Just follow along with me. It says, I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name as the God of Israel. I am the God of Israel. Now let's look at the other promise in Isaiah 54, 2 and 3. The Bible says, enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We pray that you just have your way here this morning. I pray that as we launch this series, that it will jump in our hearts. And I pray that you just do something in us, in each and every one of us. Lord, as I prayed about this series, I know it wasn't something that we just came up as just a clingy thing to say. But I believe you want to give birth to somebody here today. A spirit of revival needs to break loose in our church. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, everybody says, amen. Amen. See, scriptures are very important because they're our foundational scriptures. They're very important. Matter of fact, I want you to read them over and over again. Just go back to it. Because this, the first part was when Pastor Sonny was going to give up. And Dick Mills, which was a prophet back in the day. Dick Mills was known back then as a prophet. He was always on point when he came to a word for the people. And so Pastor Sonny was in church, and he was discouraged. And he didn't think that there was a future in Victory Outreach. And at that moment, Dick Mills came, and he gave a word to Pastor Sonny. And he gave him this, that what he was doing, because he was so discouraged. Why? Because reaching the folks that we reach sometimes are very difficult. You'll see them backslide 20 times before they get it together. You'll see them go back, just like we heard with Lino. Lino went and he came back, and now he's here again. But see, sometimes you have to have a tough heart in order for you to get through that period. Because you put all yourself, all your heart, and everything you got into a person, into a group of people, for them to all backslide. You see, and drugs will do that to people. It'll draw them back out there in the world. And so Pastor Sonny was giving up on the notion and on the idea that God could do a work through drug addicts. And so God gave him that word, that I'm going to give you treasures out of darkness, and that I will break the pieces of the gates of bronze, and I will cut the bars of iron. I will give you treasures of darkness. In other words, they're going to be in secret places. How many know sometimes we got to go look for them? Amen. There's going to be miracles. God's going to open up prison doors. But see, it's not the physical prisons that are going to be open. It's the mental prisons that cause people to be in prison. Somebody say amen. That this anointing is going to help folks that are in prison in themselves, that God's going to deliver them. And this anointing is going to be upon Victory Outreach International. And God was going to use this ministry to reach people that were unreachable. But with the anointing and the power and the experience that we have, God's going to raise up a people that weren't a people to become a people of God. You see, then he came up with Isaiah 54, 2 and 3. And that's the second part of the promise, which was to now have the vision expanding beyond the four walls of a building. He was looking at East L.A. as a place. And he was looking at East L.A. as, okay, let's win East L.A. But God began to speak to him that this vision needed to go beyond East L.A. It needed to go beyond L.A. It needed to go beyond the California. It needed to go beyond United States. It needed to be now past the borders of United States into the world. And so now the Bible and the Word of God gave us this promise. It says to enlarge the place of your tent, to stretch out your curtains and your dwelling. Do not spare, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, because I will expand you to the right and to the left. Your descendants will inherit the nations. And I love this part. And it says, I will make desolate cities inhabited. There's some cities that Victory Outreach are going into that nobody else wants to go to. Oh, but we're making it inhabitable. We're making it a place of safety. We're going to Africa. We're going to Australia. We're going to Europe. We're going to Germany. We're going to places nobody wants to go to. But I thank God for Victory Outreach and the third wave that's going to carry this spirit into the uttermost parts of the world. So a lot of people don't understand our ministry. When I go to other ministries to fellowship with them, God bless them, because everybody has an anointing and has a part in the body of Christ. And I totally understand that. I don't undermine them, and I don't, you know, say that, oh, you don't know what's going on in the inner city. It's because maybe they have an anointing to reach a group of people that I don't have. And here in Victory Outreach, we have an anointing. We have an anointing like my wife was mentioning. My wife was never a drug addict. She was going to school. She was going to college when she was reached by a guy in the home. And so she came into this church not being a drug addict, but then she saw something. She saw the power of God changing a man like that. And she says, this must be God. You see, you might come to this ministry not even be a drug addict. You might come, but how many know that sometimes the hidden sins are worse than the exposed sins? Because you're dealing with issues that nobody knows about. Maybe you're dealing with some pornography issue. Maybe you're dealing with some mental issue. Maybe you're dealing with some depression or anxiety. Maybe there's some kind of addiction that nobody knows about. But how many know that, you know, when you're in sin and when you're in that place, the bars of iron will be broken here today? Because of this anointing that we're dealing with today. This third wave is important, and it's imperative that we understand how important you guys all are in this movement that we all are a part of. And if you're visiting us for the very first time, I pray that you catch the wave. I pray that you catch the wave. You see, this expression was something that surfers say. Did you catch the wave? And then not only that, they said, did you pave the wave? They say that. To say that I shredded that wave. Man, I went through the wave. And surfers say that too. Skateboarders say that too. But it's also an expression that says, are you paving the way? Just like Lino, I had him come up here because he's paving the way for the guys in the home. He's showing you, man, you could rise up and become staff too. You could rise up and be a man of God. Juan is paving the way. He's a graduate of the home. You see that. God is doing the work in his life. Memo's paving the way. There's many people that are paving the way here today. And so I got this video for you because I got a little intrigued by the waves and riding. I've never been a surfer. How many here are they actually surfed before? And see, it's always the people I never suspect. Amen. So, all right. And anybody else? All right. How many here are professional surfers? There's nobody professional. Oh, we got Caleb. He's a professional surfer. Amen. See, I'm saying the least expected person sometimes. And so I was interested. But one of the things about surfing that I studied about and I kind of just looked into is the key to catching a wave is to have the pace of the wave. You have to catch up to the wave and go to the same speed of the wave to catch the wave. Now, I want that to settle in for a little bit. Just let it settle in you to your spirit for a minute because it's going to mean something later. I want you to just go show the video at this time, but it's a man that caught a wave, right? And it's an amazing sight. Just go ahead and show it right now. Now, this wave is so long. He's catching this wave, and it's like forever. Look, he's going to come out of the hole. He keeps going. This dude is awesome. This guy keeps going. You see people catching the wave, but they're just like real quick fall, right? This dude keeps going. Look, and again, he wants to continue to ride the wave. And he just keeps going, and he's going to come out of the hole again. And he keeps going. This boy wants it again. He goes back into the wave. This guy's, you can literally see miles and miles and miles. And there he is. And he catches the wave again. And then he just keeps going. This is an amazing surfer right here. How many want to be like that dude right there? I wish I could be like that guy. Look, he's going to come out of the hole again. There it is. See? It just keeps going, and they'll start showing, like, how far he's gone. He's gone so far away. He just keeps going, keeps going, keeps going, keeps going. All right, did you get the video all the way to the end, right? Right? Keep going, keep going. Watch. And this is such a long wave. He's going again. The dude is just sick. Amen, if I could say that. Amen. The dude. Is that it? At the end? Okay, there was still another part to it, but he rode the wave all the way to the end. And so riding a wave takes skill and it takes momentum. In order for you to catch a wave like that, the boy was studying the waves and he was catching it. Once he caught it, boy, he rode it all the way to the end. Pastor Cho from the Korean church in South Korea, he started a church many years ago. And he said this, that he caught a wave and he's still riding it. And he has one of the largest churches. He has the largest church in the world. He right now has 1 million people going to church. 1 million people in South Korea. So he rode the wave and he says, this is important that we understand how to ride a wave. When the wave of the Holy Spirit is hitting a church, it could either die or we could ride it to the end. And just keep going into the moment. Get out of the funnels again and go right back into the tunnel. Get back right there. We keep riding the wave. Now, this new wave today that I'm discovering here in today's culture that we're reaching today is a whole different wave. It's a wave that it's not the typical wave that we've seen in the past. It's not that revival, old tent type of revival. It's a new kind of revival that's happening today. You see, this wave is going to take technology to reach more people. Matter of fact, it's going to take systems in place to reach more people. It's going to take people that are thinking outside the box to reach this creative people that we're experiencing out there in the world. We are dealing with a group of people that have the answers. They say they have the answers to the problem. They don't go to God, they go to Google. Right? They don't go to the Word. They go to Google. They say, what does the Google have to say about this? They go to the search engines to check what the answers are today. You see, sometimes, back in the day, people didn't have that. So you give them the Word and they would believe it. Nowadays, everybody's checking what you're saying. So it's not easy to preach to folks or people that are like that. But let me tell you, the way that we're going to ride this wave, it's going to be through an anointing. It's going to be through the power of God, but it's going to be through exampleship. But also it's going to be a mindset that has to change. We can't stay the same old way. And we can't do church the same either. It can't be the old way. It can't be the traditional way. We live in a new culture today. We live with a new group of people that are, I mean, people have a hard time paying attention. I'm not sure if anybody like that in this room, but you're probably already on Instagram. Amen. You're already wiped up. You're swiped up already to check out the newest feed that's happening out there. It's hard to keep your attention past maybe 30 seconds. Before, if I don't catch your attention, man, you're already swiping up on your phone. We've been taught that way. So that's why we have to use videos and we have to use pictures. Because you're like, oh, there's a picture. Oh, there's a video. Oh, I like this. Amen. I like this church. But it's just because it's you're part of the culture. That's why it's interesting to you. You see, The Cambridge Dictionary says paving the way, it defines it this way, it's to make other things possible. So when you're paving the way, you're making greater things take place. See, Pastor Sonny paved the way so that we could become greater in the things of God. You see, Jesus said, greater things that you will be doing than me. How can we do greater things than Jesus? But he says, I paved the way so that you can do great things for his honor and for his glory. Jesus paved the way by going on the cross so that now we could be born again, living for God, having the equipment, and having the power to overcome the works of darkness. See, Jesus paved the way. Pastor Sonny paved the way. Now greatness is in the house. Now you are in the house. You are the third wave anointing. You are the power that God wants to move through you. You are Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, according to the power that works in you. You got to know you're the third wave. We're paving the way. We're paving the way here today. And when I think about that, a lot of times you have to know your history first before you know what you're made out of. You have to know where you came from so you know that you have a secure future. So one of the things that you have to understand here today that we have a DNA, and I'll get into that in just a minute. But I want to talk about something here that the Bible says in Isaiah 51. And it says this about carrying a DNA. It says, listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the hole of the pit from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you. For I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. Amen. You see, he says, look to the rock where you've been cut from. Go ahead and put a picture of that rock real quick. Look at the rock. You know, that right there, if I cut a piece of that rock, it's a part of the rock. Everything that was in the big rock will be in the small rock. Everything that rock was made out of will be in the smaller pieces of that rock if you cut it. And so here they were trying to give Abraham or make Abraham an example of what it means to look in the past so that you know that your future is secured. And they said, look, first, they said, look at this rock. I need to let you know that you're a part of a great movement. See, Abraham at that time was called to do a work for God. He was called from his people to start a new group of people. Pay attention, Mentone. This is important. Don't fall asleep on me. Wanda's noting. See, look, he's taking notes right now. Amen. This is important. Why? Because you're going to have children going to follow after you. Amen. It's important, man. You capture this, right? This message is going to change your life if you capture this. You see, the rock that I'm talking about, I'm not talking about Jesus. Jesus is the rock, of course. But it was talking about in a figurative way that Abraham was the example of what you could be as well. You see, Abraham was a man that didn't know much, but he was called to do much. You see, he didn't have much, but he was called to have much. Somebody say amen. You see, sometimes you are called to do something that you do not have today. See, you might not have the knowledge. You might not have the finances. You might even not even have the personality. But I'm telling you here today, God might call you to be the opposite of what you are today. That's why when he called Peter, he told Peter, you're a reed, but you're going to be a rock in the future. He told him, you are this today. You're wavering. You're emotional. But I'm going to make you a rock where you're going to stand put and you're going to be an example to the church. You see, God will always call you. You see, God, I can't serve you, God. I struggle because of this and that. That's perfect. That's good that you struggle. Because then when in the struggle, you'll know that you need God. When you struggle, oh, God, I need you, Jesus. I keep struggling, man. I'm having a hard time here. And that's how you know you need God. You see, I want to leave you three things. If you're taking notes real fast, I'm not going to take up all your afternoon. But just real quick, three things. I want to leave you in order for us to start paving the wave. Just three things. One, number one, as we read earlier, is that you need to seek the Lord. In Isaiah 51, verse 1, it says, seek the Lord. Why did it say that in the beginning? It says, seek the Lord. It's important that we seek God. You see, sometimes people don't seek the Lord in a way that you want a relationship. See, you don't seek his face, you seek his hands. You see, you want God to do something for you, but you don't want to hang out with God. You ever know people like that? They just want to use you? You ever know people like that? You know, they come around, they be nice to you just because they want to use you. For those who are in the streets, you know, hey, I don't like this guy. I already know. I can tell he's being too nice to me. Why are you being nice to me? Right? How many know people like that? Right? There's, you know, coming from the streets, sometimes you wonder what people's motives are. So you come in and the person starts to hug you. Get off me, you know? It's like, you don't want to be hugged. And why is this person saying all these nice things? What does he want from me? I hear that so many times in Victory Outreach. I hear that all. What, you know, I'm not used to hugs. You see, that's why sometimes coming to God and seeking God, sometimes we just look for the hand of God, but not for the face of God. You see, that word seek means, it means this. It basically seeking his presence. His presence is common translation in the Hebrew, and it means seek his face. Literally, it's saying seek his face before everyone else. You need to seek his mind. You need to seek his heart. You need to seek his love. You need to seek him for not for what he can give to you, but for what who he is. Somebody shout amen. You see, it's the mindset that you have when you come before the Lord. There's been times in my life that I sought the Lord and I've asked God, God, how many have asked God for money? Raise your hand. Stop it, you liars. Amen. Raise your hand if you ask God. God, how many have ever asked? I'm just curious. You can raise your hand if that's true. How many asked God to make you a millionaire? Whoa, a lot of hands. Oh, my Lord, make me a millionaire. Right? And you say, God, if you make me a millionaire, I'll pay my tithes. And then he comes to me, Pastor, pray for me that I'll be a millionaire so I can pay my tithe. Do you know, as a pastor, I know a lot of things that I don't tell you. I'm going to tell you one of the things I do know. If you're faithful in little, you'll be faithful over much. If you ain't faithful over the McDonald's job that you got, paying whatever, 20, 50 bucks a week, if you can't do that, you ain't going to do it when $1 million hit your bank. You'll be, oh, that's a... Ooh, $10,000, $100,000. I don't know if I could. It was $100,000, right? 10%. $100,000 is a lot. I could buy a house with that. Oh, it got quiet up in here. Amen. You see? Come on, somebody. You get quiet up in here. That's so true. Man, I tithe. Ooh, I got 20. I got 2 on it. Amen. I got 100. I got 10 on it. Amen. I got 1,000. I got 100 on it. Man, I got 5,000. I got 500 on it. I got 1,000,000. I got 5,000 on it. Amen. Isn't it true? It's so true. That's I got tested that way. The Lord blessed me with the $200,000, and I remember I just got blessed. Man, I was tithing that. Woo! Oh, come on, somebody. I was so excited about writing a check and coming to church and say, oh, look how the Lord has blessed me. I was so excited. I was dancing the altar. Look, boy, there it goes. You know, I was so excited about giving. And for other folks, it's like, oh, it's an investment. But you don't realize that you're investing in the kingdom of God. See, you want quick returns. It ain't going to be a quick return in an investment in God. It's going to be an over time return, and you're going to see the blessings of peace and joy. You can see your family be restored. You're going to see great things take place. God's using your life. Not only that, God changes your heart in the process. Woo! Come on, somebody. God teaches us how not to be so selfish. Amen? But seeking God is so super important. That's why Friday nights is so important that you come. It sets the tone for our church services. It sets the tone for us right now here today. It prepares us for what God is doing next. If you come on a Friday night, man, and the worship, that's why we're investing on Friday night. Did you know that? We pay for an artist to come. You guys think he's coming for free all the way from Sacramento? No. We're paying for him over $200 to come, just to come bless us with music. That's an investment that we're making to you guys so that you can get a hold of God. You see, as a church, we believe in this so much that we're willing to invest. See, your belief and your investment are not two different things. They're one thing. So when you believe in something, you would invest in it. That's why the Bible says wherever your heart is, whatever your treasure is, your heart is also. It comes together. I believe in this church. I believe this is the third wave. I believe that you are great. I believe you have great potential. I believe God has a calling upon people's lives here today. And that's why the number one thing that I want to invest in you is the importance and the value of seeking His face. Seeking God's face, because then if you seek His face, I don't have to counsel you that much. Amen. You seek His face, man. You tell Him, I'm going through it, but I already gave it to the throne of Jesus, man. I'm good. I already know He's going to work it out. I know He's going to do it. God gave me peace. You know, a brother told me that the other day, because, man, I'm going through it right now. I'm going through all kinds of stuff, but I still have peace in my life. I'm okay. I've been seeking His throne. God's going to work it all out. When you learn how to seek His face, you'll see that God is moving. Sometimes we seek God because we think He's lost. God is not lost, right? It's not even the fact that you're lost. But the thing is, you're seeking God to see where He's at today. You see, you want to see where God is moving. So you want to be in that momentum that God is. Guess what? God is moving and victory already conquered. You got to see what God is doing in this church. When you seek God, you will see God is doing a momentum. We're starting a woman's home this year. We're starting more movements. Things are taking place. Man, we're going to do such a big outreach in the month of October. God is doing a wave. God is moving. Do you see it? Do you perceive it? Do you hear what God is doing? You got to also remember where God brought us from. In Isaiah 51, verse 1, again, and it says, and to the hole of the pit from which you were dug. Now, the scriptures talks about the quarry. Basically, when it's talking about the rock, it's just this, the quarry. Somebody said it was Sarah. She's where it came from. It came from Sarah. It's the quarry where the rock came from. But also, too, in application, we could understand that it also pertains to where we came from. And so where we came from for where we are today. So where do you come from today? Were you in your room suicidal? Were you struggling in pain and struggles? Were you in a place of despair and hopelessness? Were you in a place that you struggled so much you didn't even know that you were going to live past a year? You see, maybe you were in a place where you didn't even care. You didn't love nobody. Remember where God brought you from, and you'll remember that God has called you for such a time as this. When you understand where God brought Victory Outreach, He brought us from a mighty long way. He brought us from a group of people that were